Can we turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 49, put a finger also in Deuteronomy chapter 33. We're going to read today from verse 22 of Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, and reading from verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From whence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel? Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father hath prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Just turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and reading from verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 33. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Amen. We know the Lord again will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite in prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, as we further wait upon thee this day, we thank thee for the tithes and offerings that have been received. We thank thee for the work of God that they have been given for the willingness of thy people to give to prosper the work of God and to give their offerings to thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst accept them and that thou wouldst make them a blessing to others around about us. We pray that thy hand would be upon us here as we come to thy word. Lord, speak through thy word and bless it to our hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. As we've been studying the blessings of Jacob and the blessing of Moses upon the tribes of Israel and upon Jacob's sons, we have kept the thought of the hoary-headed Jacob sitting on his bed while he bestowed his parting blessings upon his 12 sons. How noble he must have been on that occasion. He was weak. He was sick, he was about to gather up his feet into his bed and die. And yet there's a godly nobility about him here as he speaks. Already we have heard about 10 of the boys. They are all gathered together around the bed. And he has a word for each of them. But some of them, we have noticed that there is not very much that he says. Maybe only a sentence or two. But now he comes to his beloved son Joseph, and perhaps we can picture Jacob with the tears running down his eyes. Here is the son of his beloved Rachel. He remembers how, with all the fervor of an Eastern woman, Rachel had prayed for her son. Now he looks into the eyes of this boy, and he sees the eyes of his beloved Rachel. And there stood that boy for whom his wife had prayed with all fervency. For a long 20 years he had tarried, but now here he is. Remember how he had been born, and his mother had named him Joseph, or increase, or adding. And Jacob loved him with a special love. Remember how he had made Joseph a coat of many colours. But then they had been parted. Joseph had been sold as a slave into Egypt by his brethren. And Jacob had been told that Joseph was dead, that a wild animal had slain Joseph. And for many years they had been parted. But now here he sees his beloved son again, and he is alive. He's a prince in Egypt. He has a royal dignity. And Jacob is proud of his son. And now in the rapture of earthly feelings, he swells in harmony with heaven's blessing. And he says here, Joseph is a fruitful bough, a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from whence is the shepherd and stone of Israel. And it goes on, and you'll read it here, to give Joseph mighty blessings, multiplied blessings. And then we go down through the years and we think of Moses at the end of his life. And again, there's a special blessing for Joseph. Moses said, and of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his hand for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. And here was Joseph, given that special blessing from on high. He is the blessed separated one. You notice how both Moses and Jacob notice that he is the one who was separated from his brethren. And you'll notice that Joseph here is mightily blessed of God. Joseph is not just one tribe, but he has two tribes. His two sons, you'll read over in Genesis 48 and verse 16, were adopted by Jacob as his own sons. It says there, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abram and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, Jacob said, given the blessing, he said, the name, let my name be named upon them. And they became two of the tribes of Israel. You don't have a tribe of Joseph, but you have two tribes, the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh. And I believe that as we study these tribes of Moses, or these tribes of Joseph rather, today, there is something to bless our souls and to bless our hearts. So let's just get right into the portion of scripture here. And I want you to notice a number of things about the blessings here on Joseph's tribes. The first thing I want you to notice is the fruitfulness of Joseph. We're told in verse 22 of Genesis 49, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And certainly that's a picture of real fruitfulness. There was a massive vine that grew in Hampton Court Palace a number of years ago. It was a vine which grew and grew, And no matter how hard they cut it back, it still grew. And it seemed that it was unwieldy and unruly, and they could hardly hold it back. And they wondered what it was that led to the bountiful production of this particular vine. And they investigated, and they found that the roots of this vine had sunk right deep into the earth, just beside the River Thames there. And because it sunk deep into the earth, it was able to draw the moisture from the River Thames itself. And it had an inexhaustible supply of water. And because it had an inexhaustible supply of water, there was no end to the growth that it could do, and no end to the production of grapes that came from that particular vine. And that's the picture that God gives here of Joseph. He's a fruitful bough by a well. And if we notice the blessings and the fruitfulness of Joseph, and it was true physically. We have said that there was two tribes out of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. And if you look over at what Moses has to say about Joseph in Deuteronomy chapter 33, you'll read it says, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. So there are two tribes, and Ephraim and Manasseh became great and mighty tribes. So there is a blessing numerically. You notice, by the way, that he speaks of the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. Now, this is hundreds of years before the tribes would develop, but that was historically accurate. The tribe of Ephraim was much larger than the tribe of Manasseh. But both tribes had a fruitfulness. There were many great men and women who came out of these tribes. You think of the tribe of Ephraim, and Joshua came out of that tribe, and Deborah came out of that tribe, and Samuel came out of that tribe. Or the tribe of Manasseh, there was Gideon, and there was Jephthah. And Joseph's descendants were strong, and they were numerous, and they were blessed. But not only was he fruitful numerically, but he was fruitful materially. The word fruitful there is a word that comes from the same root as the name Ephraim. And it means double fruit. And if you were to look at the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh and see where they had their inheritance in the promised land, you will see that Manasseh has territory which stretches right from the Mediterranean Sea, right over to the River Jordan. And then there's another substantial portion beyond Jordan as well. And we think of Ephraim, it was right in the center of the land. But there was a substantial amount of land. It was a fruitful land. And then there's something significant that we have learned of late, that there are oil fields just off the coast of Israel. And this has just been discovered in the last couple of weeks. But we noticed when we were looking at the tribe of Asher, that Asher, it says, would dip his foot in oil. And we noticed that these oil fields are mainly distributed just at the foot of the territory of Asher. But you notice that when we come to the tribes of Joseph, that it speaks of how there would be a blessing upon the crown of his head. And it mentions the head of Joseph's tribes. And if they are at the foot of Asher, these oil fields are mainly distributed at the head of where Manasseh's tribe and where Ephraim's tribe would be. So it would seem that there is maybe a fulfillment of these prophecies right at this very time in which we live. And God has a blessing upon his people. But not only were they blessed materially, and not only were they blessed numerically, but they were blessed spiritually. You notice the message, the mention here of the blessings to those around. Joseph here was a fruitful bough spiritually. It says his branches ran over the wall. In other words, he not only blessed himself, but there was an overflow of blessing to those around. He was a blessing to his brethren. You know, at the end of his life, Joseph could say to his brethren that had sold him into slavery, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph became a savior. He became a savior in Egypt, and he became a savior of his people and of the surrounding people and of his own family. And what an amount of blessing flowed out of Joseph. His vines ran over the wall. Remember when he was in prison, how that the Lord blessed him, and he became a blessing when he was in the prison. When he was in Potiphar's house as a slave, he became a blessing in the house of Potiphar, and Potiphar gave all things into the hand of Joseph. His blessings ran over the wall. He was a blessing to those around him. And wouldn't it be a great thing if that was your testimony and mine? Not only has the Lord blessed us, but we are a blessing to those around us. Our vines run over the wall. We have a blessing that radiates out from us. And there's an impact in our community and an impact in our family because of our faith. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And Joseph was a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches ran over the wall. So we notice his fruitfulness. But the second thing I want you to notice about Joseph is his fountain. Where did his fruitfulness spring from? Well, the text says that he's a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. He drew his blessings from this well. And what was the well he was drawing from? Well, through all the difficulties in the life of Joseph, and through all the hardships that he endured, he had learned something. He had learned to depend totally upon the Lord. There's a significant phrase that occurs a number of times in the life of Joseph when you read it. It says in the book of Genesis that the Lord was with Joseph. In Genesis 39 and 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. It occurs again in the same chapter in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And we read it again and again and again. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph had a mighty well by his hand because the Lord was with him. There was a deep well that Joseph drew from, blessings in the midst of adversity, blessings in the midst of the days when he was sold into slavery, blessings in those days when he was forgotten and left in the prison and nobody seemed to remember him. But the Lord was with him. And what a blessing that was in the midst of his difficulties and in the midst of all that he had to endure. In Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, we read these words: "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters." And I hope the same is true as you. You're planted by those waters, you're drawing from the blessings of God, that the Lord is with you. How can you know the Lord is with you when you walk with him? When you walk with him along the pathway of life, the Lord was the well that Joseph drew from. But also God's word is a well. I'm thinking of the psalmist in Psalm 1. We have the picture of the blessed man or the happy man. It says that his feet are planted by the rivers of water. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And in the psalm, the one who is planted by the rivers of water is the one who meditates on God's law day and night. And not only do we draw from the wells of God, but we draw from the wells of God's word. And if we want to be fruitful in this day, if we're going to have fruit that will last, fruitful fruit that will abide into eternity itself, then we need to draw from the wells of God. His fruitfulness came from his fountain, the fountain of God. But then I want you to notice something else about Joseph. Look at his foes. Turn over to chapter 49 again and look at verse 23. It says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. There's a hatred against him. And there's a mighty foe that comes. Because the word archer there is a word that actually means a master archer, a marksman. And we might be surprised in some ways that the one that God would bless would have these foes. But we shouldn't be surprised in another way, because the Lord Jesus, has he not warned us that if we stand for him, that there are enemies that are going to come, and we will with much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we look down through church history and we think of the great saints of God who stood for God and who did things for God, and how many of them were hated. How many of them had to go through great tribulation? John Bunyan, cast into prison. Many of the godly ministers in the Great Ejection were cast out of their manses and out of their rectories because they would not conform to Laud's liturgy in England. We think of the Covenanters in Scotland, hounded and harried on the moors and on the plains of Scotland. The Huguenots, who were massacred and driven into exile from France. We don't have to look far to see that a godly people and a godlike people have enemies. There are people who don't like those who stand for God's precious word. Who were the archers in the case of Joseph? Well, he didn't have to look far for some of them, because they were the big lads that were standing by his side, his own brethren. And I'm sure, as Jacob spoke about the archers that wounded him, maybe he cast a sideward glance at those boys that were by his side, and every one of their consciences, I'm sure, was pricked. They had done it. Jacob says the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. And his brothers shot at him and his brothers hated him. There were arrows of jealousy and arrows of bitterness and arrows of hatred. There are plenty of arrows. Sometimes the arrows come from the closest. Even our brethren at times, even some of God's people can say things, do things that maybe out of jealousy or out of some sense of envy, they have done things that they shouldn't do. But Satan himself is the master archer. He'll be against us if we're in the battle for him. And then women as Joseph was blessed, but there were those that hated him and those that shot at him. And there are trials and there are scoffings and there are mockeries. And if we stand for God and if we seek to nail our colours to the mast for God, there will be archers that will shoot at us. You can be sure of that. But all through the life of Joseph, God was with him. There were his foes. But then look at his fortification. How did he stand against these archers? Well, verse 24 of Genesis 49 said, but his bow abode in strength, and his arms, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. There is his fortification. He's abiding in strength, but he's abiding in strength because the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. In other words, he never weakened. Isn't that wonderful? I hope it could be said of you and me that we don't weaken. When the archers were shooting at him, he didn't weaken. When his brothers sold him into slavery, he didn't weaken. When Potiphar wrongly threw him into prison, he didn't weaken. When the chief butler forgot him, he didn't weaken. through all those years until he was 30. When he stood on the dawn of a new life as a governor in the land of Egypt, he stood, his arms were strengthened by the arms of the mighty God of Jacob. And that's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful picture of strength there. This is not a boasted valor. It's not a fiction. It's not something just to talk of. But this was real strength. The mighty God of Jacob had strengthened Joseph. And God's strength is there available for us. When you're facing temptation, when you're in the midst of difficulty, and when you're getting it hard, child of God, at work or in the work at school or wherever it may be, you can rely upon the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. That strength is still available to God's people today. Joseph was made strong. He was strengthened. But we also have a mention of Joseph's bow here. It speaks of how Joseph had a bow. It says in verse 24, but his bow abode in strength. And what did Joseph fire in his bow? Instead of the arrows of hate and envy and lies. Remember when his brother stood before him. Did he get his own back? No, he spoke tenderly to them. He met with them. He forgave them. Think of those words at the end of his life. As he spoke to his brethren, he said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. It's hard to do that sometimes, isn't it? When somebody has had something hard to say about you, it's hard to speak kindly to them. When somebody has scoffed at you, and they deserve nothing but your contempt, it's hard to speak kindly to them. But Joseph's bow abode in strength. It abode in God. It abode in God. And he shot arrows of kindness and arrows of mercy and arrows of love to even those that had come against him. And that's how we face the foe in this day and generation too. That was how Joseph won in the end. He was strengthened by the mighty hand of God. We notice his fortification, but also notice his faith. It says his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. And look at this. From whence is the shepherd and stone of Israel? There's mention there of the shepherd and stone of Israel. And you notice the object of Jacob's faith here. Who is the stone? Who is the shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? He is the stone that was disallowed of the builders, but has become the head on the cornerstone. He is the shepherd and stone of Israel. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did Joseph depend for his strength in the mighty hand of God, but he was looking to the shepherd, the one who would guide him, the one who would direct him, the one who would keep him in his fold and surround him with his love and with his care, and would never let him down, and would never let the animals in, and would never let those wolves that were baying for his blood at him. There was a hedge about him. He was trusting in the shepherd of Israel. How that must have encouraged Joseph as he stood in those days. We notice the object of Jacob's faith, but look at the outcome of it. His hands were made strong. Joseph's arm, the picture there is like the father who teaches his children. He takes the arms of the children and he teaches them, and he holds perhaps the bow, as it were, and he fires the bow. He puts his arms upon them, and the mighty God of heaven condescends to put his hands on our hands and direct us. He lays his hands upon the child's hand. And what comfort, what help there is as God puts his hand on my hand and he takes me by the hand
and leads me on down the pathway of life. That was a blessing for Joseph. In spite of the adversities he had to undergo, God put his hand on the hand of Joseph. We notice his faith. But look also at his favour. Or his fullness, we could say, because there's a fullness of blessing here. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 33. And it says there, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. By the way, the deep that coucheth beneath, is there a reference there to what is beneath the land? The deep that coucheth beneath, that's where they're finding the oil. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Now there's a whole lot in there that we don't have time to do or deal with now, but I want you to notice blessings. Blessings of precious things. Precious things here. Precious things there. Precious things of the mountains. Precious things of the deep. There's a multitude of blessings. There's a fullness of blessings that are bestowed upon Joseph. And it speaks there of the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Who is that? Well, this is Moses referring to the time when he saw the Lord, saw Jehovah, saw God in the bush, in the wilderness. The goodwill of Jehovah, that's what Joseph had. And that was a mighty blessing. How we need the favour of God. As we move into our mission, as we go out in outreach, we need the favour of God. We need God to turn the hearts of the people. We need our hands strengthened as we face into this season of labour for the Lord. And we need the mighty blessings of God, a multitude of blessings. But look at, what is the secret of having blessing? What is the secret of favour with God? Well, there's a significant little phrase that is used by the Holy Ghost in the record of both places, where Moses blesses and where Jacob blesses. And it is the description of Joseph as being separated from his brethren. You have it in verse 26 of Genesis 49 and in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 33. Now that's perhaps the secret. The secret is found in a life of separation. He was separate as a lad of 17. He was separated. And he was found in a life of separation. Even down in Egypt, he was separate. And the secret of God's blessing lies in that word, separation. Because separation is at the root of sanctification. Because sanctification means being set apart for God. Moses had a life that was set apart for God. Set apart. Is your life set apart for God? Is your life one that is wholly dedicated to the Lord? Separation from sin. Separation from the world. Separation from false religion. Separation from the apostasy of the day. It involves all these things. But most of all, set apart unto the Lord. That was the secret of God's favour. He was separated from his brethren. And oh, may we live that life of separation before God. And may we be brought to the one who is the God who dwelt in the bush. May we know the goodwill today of him that dwelt in the bush. And oh, dear friend, especially if you're not saved, may you come. Stand upon holy ground before God today and bow down before him. Known him as your King and as your Lord. Come to the God who dwelt in the bush. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer.